able to assemble together and worship Him in spirit and truth, to be able to sing praise unto Him, go to Him in prayer, and for a little while be able to open up the pages of the Bible and be mindful of spiritual things. Appreciate the mention of me in your prayers. That's always encouraging, and I don't hesitate to let you know that I need them, and so I appreciate it very much. I put the title of the lesson on the board, Simple Words Rejected by Men. A lot of times individuals just reject for one reason or another what God says. And it's always been the case, so far as we can read in the Bible, that men along the way have rejected what God says, going all the way back to the beginning, when it was very clear what God expected of man, but man had other plans and wanted to do other things. And so people today often reject what God says. The Lord said, and I appreciate Garrett reading in a good way, John chapter 12, verse 48, "He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my sayings," the Lord said, "has one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." I want us to think about some very simple words that oftentimes are rejected by men. The first one I want us to think about is the word "all." All these are just simple words in the Bible, but oftentimes rejected by men. And there's nothing difficult about what God says about these things, but for whatever the reason, many times men want to reject it. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, "For the grace of God which brings salvation hath appeared unto all men." I made the point with Titus chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, that the grace by which we can be saved, and we are saved by grace, there's no doubt about that. I gave you a passage for that this morning, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. Teaches that we are saved by grace. But in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the Bible says that God's grace has appeared unto all men. And it's by His grace that we are saved. And yet not everyone is saved. So that tells us, it has to tell us, that there is something that I must do in order to get the benefits of what God has done in sending His Son. Jesus shed His blood for the sins of the world. We'll touch on that in just a moment. And yet, not everyone is saved by the blood of Christ. So there has to be something that separates man from the benefits of what Jesus has done in shedding His blood. We're saved by the gospel. Romans 1 verse 16. In James chapter 1 verse 21. "Receive with meekness the engrafted or implanted word, whereby you can be saved. And yet not everyone is saved in spite of the Holy Spirit revealing the Word." So that tells us that there is something that I must do to get the benefits of what the Holy Spirit has done in revealing the Word, that I might be saved. Jesus tasted death for every man. There's a point that I want you to see about that word "all." That the grace of God by which we can be saved has been manifested, displayed toward all men. And Jesus tasted death for every man. And then you have folks who say that not everyone can be saved, that He didn't shed His blood for everybody, but only for those whom God had so selected before the world began to be saved. And that's just simply not the truth. The Bible does speak of predestination, Ephesians chapter 1, but God so determined that all who would obey the gospel would be saved. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, "All," there's that word, "all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And it's stated in the first chapter of the book of 1 John, "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and His word is not in us." 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. And so all of us have sinned. And then I think about John 5, verses 28 and 29, all these references capitalizing on the word "all." "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear His voice and come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation." And you have people today who say there's not going to be one general resurrection. There's going to be multiple resurrections. That's not what the Lord said. He said all that are in the grave, all who? All of the saved or all of the lost? Or both? Both. they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And on that day when the Lord comes and the judgment takes place, you know who's going to be before Him? All nations shall be gathered before Him. Matthew chapter 25 and in verse 32. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans 14 and in verse 10. So all is going to be there. Then I already mentioned to you in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8 this morning, as we talked about, I will not be afraid, that the fearful, the abominable, the whoremongers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's a very simple word. You could take each one of them points and do a sermon just on the word all. The Bible uses that word more than just the five references that I gave you, six references. But then I think about another word that so many times is rejected, and that's the word and. The word and is a simple word that's a conjoining word, a conjunction. And it puts two things together, and where one goes, the other has to go. I like the analogy of a coupling pin on some box cars. When that pin's put in there, where one of them goes, Lord knows all about this, retired from the railroad. Where one of them goes, the other has to go, does it not? They're joined together. And when God joins something together, we dare not put it asunder. Give you some examples of that in John chapter 9, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not the words of sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. If you want to be heard of God, you've got to worship God and do his commandments. No doubt about that. In Mark 16, 15 and 16. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. I don't know if the times I've heard people try to argue away baptism out of that passage. But you'll never get away from the fact that the Lord joined them together with the simple word, and. But then I think about Acts 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Some versions say, repent and let every one of you be baptized for the remission of sins. But how many times do men reject that simple Bible word, and? Like faith and works. A husband and wife, Matthew chapter 19 and James chapter 2. What God hath put together, let no man put asunder. It's a sermon that I've preached before. Let not man put asunder. You can make a lot of points about that. But then, number three, another simple Bible word. Every. Matthew 12 and in verse 36. Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Be careful about your words. Why? Because words matter. We already talked about John 12 verse 48. Words matter. The words of Christ matter. The words that I speak, that you speak, they matter. Because we'll give an account of every idle word that we speak in the day of judgment. And then James chapter 1 verse 14. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Every man tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust, and it's not God's fault. How many times does God get the blame when men do that which they ought not do? God made me. God made me this way. It's God's fault, not so. But we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. Then in Matthew chapter 15, verse 13, religious groups ought to take heed to this passage. Matthew 15, 13, Jesus said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Now, we need to instruct people today, teach them today. If you're a member of a church in which you don't read about in the Bible that's been planted a man, it will be rooted up. Don't forget that. If the Lord didn't plant it, it'd be rooted up. In fact, we're told in the Bible that except the Lord built the house, they labor in vain that build it. And in Romans chapter 2, verses 6 and 9. Romans 2, verses 6 and 9. We're looking at the word now. Every words that men reject, who will render to every man according to his deeds. If I were underscoring in my Bible, I would underscore every man and his deeds. It's an individual affair. I'll give an account on the day of judgment for what I've done, not for what you've done. Now that doesn't mean that I've not contributed to what you have done or not done. It might be folks who contribute to the wrongdoing of others, but even so then, I'll give an account of that which I've done. And then in verse 9, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. Every single one of us, as I mentioned, that all will stand before him on the day of judgment. Every man will give an account of the things that he has done in his body, according to that which he hath done, whether good or bad. And then 2 Timothy 3 and verse 17, we're thinking about the word every, that God's word will thoroughly furnish us unto every good work. I wish people today, I try to make this point, would recognize the fact that God is the one that dictates what a good work is. Not me. I need to see if God determined, if God said that it's a work that I need to be involved in individually. And by the way, every time that the phrase good works is used in the Bible, it, without exception in the New Testament, it's on an individual basis and not one time a collective action of the church. Mark it out. Challenge yourself to go home and see if that's the case. We talked about the widows this morning, 1 Timothy chapter 5. If she had diligently followed every good work, that's not the church following every good work. If she did, if a widow did, and within the realm of those good works, he put foot washing in it. And there's some religious groups today that, as a church ordinance, if you want to call it that, they say that's a collective action of the church, and the church will come together and wash one another's feet. Not so. 1 Timothy chapter 5 put the doing of that, which was a sign of hospitality in Bible times, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, right in the realm of individual works, not a church collective work, which will thoroughly equip us on every good work. But here's another one. 4. Like in Acts 2 and in verse 38, that I already mentioned to you when we talked about and. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now here's the point relative to this word. For the remission of sins. A lot of folks are baptized today, but it's not for the remission of sins. They think you're saved already. And you're just immersed into Christ because, well, it's a good thing you ought to do. Or you're saved, but we'll baptize you that you might be a part of this church. That's not so. By the way, you are not saved and then added to the church at some later time. Are you? Unless I missed something. Because in Acts chapter 2, those that did that in Acts 2 and in verse 38 is where they were told to be baptized. They that did it were added unto them. Acts chapter 2 and in verse 41. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls, praising God and having favor with all the church. Verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. The moment that you are saved, the Lord adds you to the church, because the church is the body of the saved. Now if I were to ask you, are you baptized into the church, what would you say? Just think about that, not out loud. Are we baptized into the church? 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13 says, for by one Spirit have we all been baptized into one body. We are baptized into the church. Baptism is for a number of things. It's just to go down that path, but it's for remission of sins. Acts 2 and in verse 38. It is to keep the commandments of God, because he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Acts 10 verse 48. It is to call on the name of the Lord. Acts 22 and verse 16, arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It is to be buried with Christ. Romans chapter 6 talks about that. Colossians chapter 2 and in verse 13 talks about that. For we are buried with him by baptism. I sort of say verse 10. Buried with him by baptism, Colossians 2 and in verse 12. And so it's a burial. It is to get into the one body, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse 13. We are all children of God by faith in Christ when we've been baptized into Christ. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. So baptism, and it saves us, by the way. That's very important too. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. The like figure we're into, even baptism, doth also now save us, not the putting away the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21. And so, yes, it's for remission of sins, but it's for a number of other reasons in the New Testament. That'll preach by itself what baptism is for. In fact, several of our men work together on a sermon. Baptism stands between the sinner and, we just went down through the remission of sins, keeping the commandments of God, calling on the Lord, and all the way through. But it is for the remission of sins. In Matthew 26 and in verse 28, Jesus said, take ye, drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the New Testament, which was shed for many for the remission of sins. And we need to be able to show people if baptism is for the remission of sins. And Jesus said in Matthew 26 and in verse 26 through 28 that he's going to shed his blood for the remission of sins. What's the connection then between baptism being the remission of sins and the blood of Christ being shed for the remission of sins? His blood is what gets the job done. Baptism is where that takes place. And the reason that's important is because we need to show people that according to John 19, verses 38 and 39, that he shed his blood in his death. And it's only when you are buried in the likeness of the death of Christ do you contact the blood of Christ, which washes away our sins. And so he shed his blood in his death. Remember that they came to the Lord, and when they saw that he was dead already, they break not his legs. We're going to change it. 33 and 34. Is that okay with you? Since that's the right one. So he shed his blood in his death. We just need to point that out to people. Unless you're buried in the likeness of the death of Christ, you can't be in the likeness of his resurrection. And except you are buried in the likeness of his death where he shed his blood will never wash away your sins. That's how it gets the job done. And so we have what gets the job done, how it gets the job done, and when it gets the job done. And we just got to help people see that along the way. One more passage for the word for. We mentioned this morning. We'll have more to say about it next week briefly. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16 verses 1 and 2. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so to you, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. The collection is to be used for the purpose that God intended for it to be used for. Namely, three areas. Edification, limited benevolence, and evangelism. That's it. That's the three areas of the work of the church. And there is no more. And when people disregard that, they get themselves in a lot of trouble because they start doing things that you don't read about on the pages of the Bible. Well, why don't we just get together and just enjoy the fellowship of one another? Well, I enjoy the company of one another. By the way, fellowship in the New Testament is always a spiritual affair. Don't forget that. And it's okay to enjoy the company of one another, but God put that in the realm of the individual. And so we can meet at Tom's house all day long if we want to, every day. Not a thing wrong with that. In fact, I'd encourage people to do that and spend more time together if you can. Nothing wrong with that. But we're talking about what God has authorized to be used out of the church treasury. And that's a different story. Because we are confined to use the Lord's money only in accordance to what God has said for it to be used with. For the saints. Number five. In. All of these so simple. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3. That He hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You cannot enjoy spiritual blessings outside of Christ Jesus. He said they're in Christ. That includes salvation, by the way. Now, most people you talk to religiously won't argue that salvation is something that is in Christ. But when they begin to see that they are promoting the idea that you can be saved when you're out of Christ, and they start rejecting this little word, in. He said, preacher, I've never heard someone say that you can be saved out of Christ. Well, they're not going to come out and say that, but their doctrine, without exception, when it comes to that point, that's the inevitable conclusion of it. Because if I can be saved without getting into Christ, and they're saying I'm saved outside of Christ, yes or no? If I can be saved without being in Christ, then it follows that I'm saying that I'm saved outside of Christ. You agree with that? And the only way to get into Christ, as we pointed out so many times, is to be baptized into Him, Galatians 3 and Romans 6. All spiritual blessings, forgiveness of sins, peace with God, reconciliation, redemption, praying unto God as our Father, you name it. All of those spiritual blessings are only located in Christ Jesus. Salvation is only in Him. Salvation which is in Christ, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 10. I already mentioned to you Galatians 3, verses 26 through 28. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not in Christ, not a child of God by faith. Ephesians 5, verse 19. Singing, make a melody on a piano. Is that what it said? Singing, make a melody with a tambourine. I see these little things come up on YouTube, these praise breaks they call them. I'm telling you, it's beyond me. People jumping up on the communion table, rolling around in the floor, and the ladies having to come up and put a blanket over them to keep them modest. Well, they're the one rolling around the floor. Well, sir, in the heart, make a melody. And the word melody, by the way, does have the idea to pluck or to twang as on a stringed instrument. But He tells us what instrument He's talking about. In the heart. And we don't do it by proxy, that is, on behalf of another. That's why when folks come, they don't see some youth group up here doing the singing for us, and we just sit back. We don't have a choir up here where the choir is singing, you just sit back. We don't have some solo where they do some solo on their own, and you just sit back. What He said to you, He said to me, that I'm to sing and you're to sing. That's why all of us congregational singing ought to be the order of the day. It was in the first century. Colossians 3 verse 16. Whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and the Father by Him. Jesus said, all power, authority has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Matthew 28:18. And to do things without His authority will cause us to be lost. Matthew 7:21-23. They were workers of iniquity. That is, they did it without the instruction of the Lord, without His authority. Lawlessness. Number six. One. Anything difficult about number one? Evidently, it's hard for a lot of people to get a hold of. But yet in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 2 through 5, he talks about, let us, in verse 3, he says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And then he goes on to say that there is what? There is one body. Now, you won't understand what the body is there except you had understood from reading chapter 1 that the body is the church. Now, I can say that there is one church because he says that there is but one body and the body is the church. And again, I just reasoned not too long ago, talked with you about that umbrella idea people have. They say, oh yes, I believe that all religious groups are part of the one body of the New Testament. Well, it's strange the Lord never said that. The apostles never preached that. The apostles never wrote that. But that there was one church. In fact, denominations could never be a part of that church in the New Testament because they were not until centuries afterward. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 20, though there be many members, yet there is but one body. In Ephesians 5 and in verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. It's another example of one. God's pattern for the home from the very beginning. And then I think about Paul and Apollos in the book of 1 Corinthians. When he talked about that he watered and Apollos, or he planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase, and he said that he that plants and he that waters is one. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and in verse 8. Last point. I say this to the end because it leads into an invitation. Very simple Bible word, whosoever. You can just preach and preach on that word. We talked about this morning about confessing the Lord. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. Who's included in whosoever? The invitation is to all. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Is that a true statement? That whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? It sure is, but you better be teaching people how one calls on the name of the Lord. You need Acts 22, verse 16 for that point. Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And Revelation 22, verse 17. One of the best Bible invitations. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. In John chapter 4, when the Lord was having a conversation with the woman of Samaria, he said, whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But not so with the water that I give. But it would be a well of water spring up into everlasting life. John 4, 13 and 14. Most of you have obeyed the gospel tonight. Very simple. Simple words rejected by men. Most of you have obeyed, but should you be here tonight, I know there's individuals here who never obeyed the gospel. And you've heard the gospel over and over and over. And I'm thankful for that, and I'm thankful God's blessed you with another opportunity here. But the reality is you're not guaranteed another opportunity. I'm not either. So why not obey the gospel tonight? Either accept it or reject it. And no one can make that decision for you but you. You become a Christian by hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, and being baptized for the remission of sins. Very simple. Nothing complicated about it. But since most of you have obeyed, you may be here tonight, having done things that you shouldn't have done, and you want to make that right and ask for the prayers of the church, you have an opportunity to do that. We saw that beautifully displayed this morning. We're thankful for that. In Acts 8, when Simon sinned, he was told by Peter, "Repent and pray God, if perhaps the thought of thine heart may be forgiven thee." And we have his assurance that he'll forgive us if we make confession unto him in prayer. 1 John 1:9. So don't delay. Don't reject it. Come forward right now.